So if we understood even a hundredth of what we just heard, there'd be no need for a sermon, to be sure. I think of, now this year I have not been listening to that section of Handel's Messiah that deals with Lent and the Passion, but previous years I did. It was sort of a daily meditative aid. And one of these is a phrase from Lamentations. Is it nothing, those of you who pass by, you know, look on me if there any sorrow like my sorrow. And it's this call from the cross that the church wants to invite us into again as we commemorate the Passion of Christ, as we remember the gift of Christ. Look on me. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? And for some reason, well, two things. First of all, we need to hear that reminder, because something about humanity is so thick, so obtuse, that this doesn't penetrate. And some of that's just a self-protective mechanism. You probably are aware of the phenomenon of shock. You know, something happens, something really horrific happens, and you go into shock, and you just sort of operate, and you think you're doing okay. You get in a car accident, and you're like, I feel fine. I don't need to go to the hospital. And then 3 hours later, your leg falls off, you know. And you probably should have gone to the hospital. But this is part of what it is as humans. We see this, and we're like, I can't do anything with this. This is like way too much. Even if this was just a human, even if it was somebody who wasn't related to me at all, we're not built to sort of observe this, like, even if he was guilty, it doesn't make it easier. We go into a sort of shock, and now let me add the incredibility of this, the incredulity that it invites us into. First of all, this is God. God who somehow limited himself to such an extent that he could become an infant, a helpless baby, and then lived under the conditions under which all humans have lived, apart from sin. Scripture is very clear to tell us everything else, 100%, the way we lived. How did God do that? That in itself is staggering. We know we can't figure that out, so we just drop it. We like, oh, well, whatever. What's next? Like, so first of all, God dies. He does it for love. Sorry, God becomes human, and then the extent to which he could empty himself, it was successful enough so that he might die. He might desert himself. The one gospel gives us this cry, which is why he introduced Psalm 22 as the prayer of Jesus from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? How does God divide himself from himself? All of this is just more and more amazement and stupefaction. And I think as humans, we're just like, I can't figure this out. I wonder what's for dinner. You know, like, and so the church says, wait a minute, slow down. Dinner's good. Slow down. Something's happening here. And then it's for love. For God so loved the world, which is the world of humanity and human culture all around the globe, all peoples, all nations, all creeds, all colors. And it's the created order itself. For God so loved creation and the human who he created in his own image, he sent himself, giving his only son. It's for love. And I think that too is something that as humans we have no idea what to make of that. When you and I talk about love, we talk about carefully calculated behavior that solicits the response that we desire. And when that proves to be unworkable, we're out of there. For us, love is always a negotiation, something that we use. Sure, for good, like when we love our children, when we love our spouse, when we love our country, whatever it is, but always for something coming back. When there's nothing in it for you, well, you might be a better person than I, and maybe you lived with better people than I did. But when there's nothing in it for you, you're gone. Love dries up, doesn't it? So we have to walk away from this too, even this great call, this great claim, because of love. I've done this. After we hear the passion, we could say, God says, and in case you missed it, this was because I love you. And we're like, okay, I have no idea what that means. Why God would love me, how he would love in a way in which was so careless and so extravagant and so completely irresponsible. So you know what you do? You call yourself a Christian and you do something different than what you would do if you understood what we just heard today. We're not alone. The writer to the ancient Hebrews, Isaiah, the first passage we heard, he says, we ourselves assumed, so it was our sickness he himself bore, our pains that he carried, yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. By his wounds we are healed. This is the great truth. He was wounded so that I might be made whole. And I look at him and I say, something else is going on. I miss it. Now, you've heard me say this before if you're part of our congregation. And maybe this is my own issue. We seem, or I seem, to bounce off the surface of these things. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I came for your joy to be made full. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, not a temporary peace, not a peace dependent upon circumstances, a deep abiding peace. He says, if you come to me, you're going to have rivers of living water flowing forth from your innermost being. John tells us that he is speaking about the Holy Spirit who had not been yet given. And all of these great promises. And I have to tell you that I'm bouncing off the surface of that, in part because I can't understand it and I don't know what to do with it. And so I shut down. And I want to invite you today, whoever you are, and wherever you're at, just to say, Jesus, if you've got something for me here, I don't want to just shut down. I don't need to understand it. I don't need to be in control of it. I just want to be open to it. I don't want to walk by wagging my head and saying, what kind of sense does this make? Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But that's the beauty of love. And if you're anything like me, you're afraid of love. Sort of, in a weird way. You like it too. But you know, being open to love means you're open to hurt and disappointment. And you prefer to be safe. Which is what shock does for us. Keeps us safe. May that not be our story this year as we walk with Jesus. May we be open heart, mind, spirit, and soul to the gift of love. May we not deny his wounding or his love so that we might enter into the healing that he has given, broken for us. Amen.